Not your hymnals, your Bibles, I'm sorry. Amen. Take your Bibles. And we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, very familiar area. If you have heard anything from our church on faith, promise giving, or grace giving, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And we'll be covering chapter number 8 and 9 over the next week. Today and then Wednesday and then next Sunday morning and evening as well, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Paul here dealing with the church at Corinth in regards to their grace giving. Grace giving. And I always like to put this little warning out or caveat. He is not talking about missions giving, but we use the principle in missions giving in the way that they're giving here. Amen. So it describes grace giving or giving by God's grace. And our missions program that we handle at the Shining Light Baptist Church is based on this principle. You say, preacher, why this principle? Because there is no principle that he gives us to how to finance reaching the world with the gospel. He just said, do it. Amen. And so if you've got to do something and it requires finances, you need to have a biblical base or a foundation on how to finance it so that you know you're doing it right. I mentioned last week, we're not going to sell chicken dinners for our tithe. Everybody remember that? Amen. No fish dinners for our tithe. Amen. Because he said, bring ye all the tithe. He didn't say, bring ye all the chicken dinners in the storehouse. Amen. Bring ye all the tithe in the storehouse. Now, if you want to do chicken dinners and then bring the tithe of that in, praise God, we'll take it. Amen. If you want to even give me some chicken dinners, I'll take those and fish dinners too. Amen. But that is not how the church funds its tithing. Amen. The same way with missions giving, there is no set principle on how to fund it. God just said, do it. Amen. And so that's why we use 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, because it's dealing with a financial principle in reaching others with some financial aid, if you would. Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'm going to start reading and I'll have you pick up with me down in verse number 7. Verse number 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, they gave even though they didn't have to give. To their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Read verses 8 and 9 with me. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Father, bless the next moments that we have together to look into the blessed word of God. And as we see the principle of grace giving that Paul utilizes here and reaching the poor saints at Jerusalem, I pray that we would, Lord, to be affected in a way that we would want to be involved, and Lord, in a way that we would then not just want to, but then do something about it and get involved, and Lord, then see the fruit of our labors. We're talking about giving and receiving and sowing and reaping, and Lord, we have already been given the seed of salvation, and we have reaped it, and we have salvation in our own hearts. Lord, help us to make sure that is available for someone else that has not the gospel. Lord, we didn't put anything in to get our gospel, but someone put in for us so that we could be saved and hear the message. So Lord, now help us to be available to reciprocate that same to many, many others around the world that are being touched with the gospel by being involved in financing the ministers that will go. And I pray, Lord, that if there's one today without Jesus Christ, and this here is a mission field, they need the gospel given to them, and they will respond and know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior before it's everlasting too late. And they would call on Jesus in repentance. Clear our minds, clear our hearts. Lord, help us to be refreshed as we review the things of God and encouraged about what Paul is encouraging this church to do. And help us to be like-minded, Lord, and then have a heart to get the gospel around the world. We thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. Instruct us, teach us, Lord, encourage us to do the will of God by reaching others with the gospel. We thank you and love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And Miss Tony has our special.
About giving out the gospel. Now, what is gospel? Gospel is good news. And good news is something that we love to give out. G2 shared with you that, you know, he got most improved player. What is that? That's good news. That's good news, amen, to know that he was acknowledged for being the most improved player. And when it's good news, you want to share that with someone. I'm reminded of the faithfulness of a guy by the name of T.J. Tilley. Many of you know T.J. Tilley. He was the guy that planted the Calvary Baptist Church in Belgium, where my wife and I both got saved. But because of his faithfulness to give out the gospel, somebody gave the gospel to him faithfully. And he then was giving out the gospel faithfully. The King, North Carolina church there, Calvary Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, used him faithfully to take that same gospel all the way to Belgium. And in Belgium, he met a guy by the name of Craig Bennett. Craig Bennett was one of the initial members of the church there at Calvary Baptist Church, who later became my pastor. And in the course of T.J. Tilley getting saved over there in the States and getting in the church there in North Carolina, the Calvary Baptist Church, and them sending him overseas, guess what that took to send him overseas? It took somebody to have some money to faithfully give to keep him and his wife and his children in Belgium. Anybody ever been to Belgium lately? It is not cheap. It's expensive, isn't it, preacher? Amen. Pretty expensive in Belgium. But there were people that stayed behind in King, North Carolina, giving faithfully while T.J. Tilley took the gospel over in Belgium. And he was faithful to give the gospel out. And Pastor Bennett was there. He got in the church and he was already saved and God raised him up. And guess what? He took over that church. And as he took over that church, there was a guy by the name of Rod Branch who came into that church, and he worked with my wife and began to give my wife that same gospel that T.J. Tilley had way back there in North Carolina, who those people at King, North Carolina, gave him the liberty and finances to go to Belgium, who then reached Craig Bennett, who then reached Rod Branch, who then reached my wife, giving her the gospel. She then quickly reached me. We quickly got in church. We quickly got saved the first day we arrived there. And the same thing that T.J. Tilley had happened to him happened to me. I got saved. My wife and I got saved. Then God began to use us in a certain way to plant this church, just like the church in Belgium was started. And as a result, several of you here are saved because of that. Preacher, what is that? That's missions. What is that all about? That's being faithful with the gospel. Tony said, may all who come behind us find us faithful. I can look back and see T.J. Tilley and his faithfulness. I can see Pastor Bennett's faithfulness. I can see Rod Branch and his faithfulness to reach my wife and then consequently me. And then God using us to do the same thing all over again. What is that? That's missions. What has been shared consistently? The gospel. What saves people? The gospel. The good news. Same good news that Gregory gave, amen. It's a different type of good news, but it is good news. The gospel is how Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is what men, women, boys, and girls need to hear all around the world, folks. It is just not unique to North Carolina. It is not unique to Belgium. It is not unique to Tucson. It is around the world. It is around the world. People need the gospel. And without the gospel, people can't get saved. It is the gospel that you and I are given the responsibility to get around the world. A while back, we preached why we need a missions program. We need one because of Matthew 28. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And so we need a missions program to get the gospel to everyone. Then we preached about why we finance a missions program, because he said, do it in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we can't reach all those areas ourselves. And so then we have to figure out how we can send people to all those areas. And that's why we need missions dollars. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verses 1 through the ending of the chapter and into chapter number 9, Paul describes how to give by grace. And that is the principle we use. What is going on here? Paul's writing Corinth about helping to meet the need financially for the saints in Judea. They were going through a famine. It was tough and they needed financial relief. And so Paul is writing to Corinth to let them know that he's reminding them that they had already agreed to help, but had not given to that point. And so he writes to remind them of their promise. And he's encouraging them in what to do and the way to do it and to start doing it. Amen. By the way, what is this preaching all about today? To remind us that there are missionaries out in the foyer that are depending on you and I to support the gospel ministry through shining light to them. Why? As a church, according to Matthew 28, we're mandated to do so. According to Acts 1:8, we're encouraged to do so. And we're encouraged to do it in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the world. How do we do it? 2 Corinthians 8, 9 and 10. And by the way, 2 Corinthians is not, again, describing missions giving. It describes giving by grace and through grace. By the way, according to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, by grace are ye what? Are you saved? So the same grace that saves us, he wants us to use that same type of grace to give. What is that? The ability to do God's will. God gives it to us. By the way, God gives us the money too. Amen. And as we approach our faith promise time and the missions conference, Brother Alfred King is going to come in and challenge us with the word of God. And God is going to place upon your heart what you can do and what you should do. And it's going to be up to you to do it. Amen. That's going to be the ultimate goal there. What does God want you to do? And then are you going to do it? And it will only be by God's grace. By the way, every born-again person that is saved should be involved in reaching others by their feet and by their finances. I should be telling people that I'm saved, and I should be giving so that others can be saved. You say, well, I give. Isn't that enough? No, God gave you a mouth, too. He wants you to use that, too. Finances and feet. So as we look at this, most of this should be review for most of us, I hope. Amen. And if it's not, please, please talk to me afterwards and say, preacher, I don't really understand this grace giving business. I don't understand why we have to reach others. I don't understand this good news, this gospel. And I'll be more than happy to sit down with you and explain to you why we do what we do. But chapter number 8 and 9, dealing with the giving to the Judean saints. 1 Corinthians was written because the Corinthians had a lot of problems, and they asked Paul a lot of questions. And Paul wrote back to the Corinthian church detailing all the problems that they had and why they had them. My son is going to go to college one day, Lord willing. Amen. And when he goes to college, he may write back and say, these are the problems that I'm having. I don't have to write him a letter. I can call him on the phone. I can FaceTime and say, okay, this is what you do with the problems that you're having. The Corinthian church had problems. They wrote to Paul, and Paul had to write back and say, these are the problems you're having. This is what to do. He then writes 2 Corinthians, encouraging them on what they had already did and further instructing them on other things. Amongst those things was the giving to the Judean saints. Paul himself had already been encouraged by the Jerusalem church to remember the needy and the poor, and that was a burden of Paul's. Why? He caused some of those burdens himself, by killing Christians and imprisoning fathers and imprisoning families. And so he had a special burden for Jerusalem and also his people. And by the way, if you don't have a burden for anybody else, you ought to have a burden for your people and the friends that you have.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
You don't have a burden for anybody else. You should have one for your family and your friends. You should not want to see them go to hell. You should not want to see them live without the gospel. And you should be burdened for them. Paul had a burden for them. And so let's notice a few things here by way of review and encouraging you in this thing called grace giving, because we're going to give is going to be by grace. Amen. First of all, notice the times that grace is used in the first several verses here. Notice verse number one. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the, what's that? Grace of God. Come down to verse number six. It says, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same, what's the word? Grace also. Notice the very next verse. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this, what's the word? Grace also. Verse number nine, for you know, what's that? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come down to verse 19, and not that only, but who also, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with what? This grace. Amen. So we see grace utilized several times here in verses 1 through 19. Grace gives us the strength or ability to do God's will. The definitions of grace are these: undeserved favor, loving kindness, goodwill, getting what we don't deserve, or God's ability to do God's will. By the way, if you and I are going to give to reach others, guess what? It is going to be God's ability giving us the opportunity. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be God's ability. Now, I know we don't like talking about money, but guess what? We all like getting money, don't we? Amen. But when it comes to giving money, we're kind of like Mr. Scrooge. We want to kind of keep that to ourselves. But guess what? It is the gospel which gets the job done. It is the finances that help get that job done. Amen. By the way, you and I would not be saved if somebody did not have the wherewithal to give us the gospel. Amen. Somebody financed the gospel somewhere to give it to those folks that gave it to us. So you and I should be reciprocating that as well. Paul is going to use chapter 8 here to really spell out to the church, to the Corinthian church, that what they're doing, they ought to be doing it. Somebody say amen. What they're doing, they ought to be doing. Others were doing it, and he's encouraging them. You already said you were going to do it. I'm just reminding you of what you said. Amen. How many of y'all love God? Amen. So if you love God, I'm just reminding you that love always gives. Somebody say amen. Amen. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. So if you love God, I'm just going to remind you that if you love God, then it always requires you to give something. Amen. Folks say, well, I don't know. Hey, do you love your husband? You give to him. Do you love your wife? You give to her. Do you love your children? You give to them. Your children love you? Well, they're learning. And so they have to be encouraged to give to you. Amen. Work them out of that selfish mode. Amen. And so it is, love always gives. So let's look at this first point here. Grace giving defined. In the first nine verses, grace giving defined, we see. We see it's undeserved favor. We see it there in verses 1. We see it in 6, 7, 9, and 19. But then in the first five verses, God's grace is demonstrated through the saints. And Paul is going to use the churches of Macedonia, which involve Philippi, Thessalonica, and possibly Berea, to encourage them that the grace of God was seen when it was least likely to be seen. Amen. Notice what he says down here. He says, first of all, grace got, the grace was seen in their poverty. Verse number two. He says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, he's saying God's grace came to these churches in their poverty. It was demonstrated. They didn't have to give, but they gave it anyway. By the way, let me go a step further. Oftentimes, mothers don't have it to give to their children, but they seem to manage to find it out somehow. I don't have the time. I don't have the strength. I don't have the energy. I don't have the wherewithal. But when it comes to their children, guess what? They will give. When it comes to their husband, they may not have the time. They don't have the energy. They don't have the resources. They don't have the wherewithal, but they will give. And sometimes they don't even know where it came from. I'll tell you where it came from, the grace of God. Now, children are oblivious. They're, well, mom always has it. No, mom doesn't always have it. But God always manages to give it to her to give to others. See that? Give to her to give to others. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? Grace was shown in their poverty, but not only that, grace was shown beyond their power. Notice verses 3 and 4. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, Paul said, you know what? The grace of God was shown to their power, but beyond that, they gave what they could and trusted God to give the rest. Amen. Sometimes mothers do the same thing. They give what they can. They say, God, you're going to have to help me to give what I can't give. They go the extra mile. They give what they don't have. They do what they're not capable of doing on their own, but the grace of God does it. Paul said these churches in poverty didn't have power, but God went beyond their power because they were willing of themselves. It says they were eager. Notice with that. Said, praying us with much entreaty. They wanted to get this thing done. Now, what are these churches? These were the churches that heard that Corinth had gave. And they wanted to get involved. Amen. And so, not only that, notice grace can be shown if we present ourselves. Notice verses 5 through 8. It says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, wait a minute. Preacher, why is this giving going on? Because the churches in Jerusalem are struggling. But why should that matter to Corinth? Because Corinth got saved because the gospel originated in Jerusalem. And people got saved there and came to where? Corinth. So they are indebted to the church at Jerusalem. By the way, can I give you a secret? So are you and I. Because the Bible says that they went from Jerusalem everywhere preaching the word of God till finally it came to Europe. And guess where we got it from? Europe. Amen. Hey, the early fathers came over here and founded this nation on the Bible because they were being ruled by tyranny and injustice and being made to worship a certain way. And a group of Europeans came over here and settled and said, look, we don't want to have to do what you say. We want to serve God God's way. And our nation was formed. So we are indebted to the same people that Paul says the Corinthians are indebted to. Amen. Hey, what happened? It took somebody to get the gospel there. So we see there, grace can be shown if we present ourselves. Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, what? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Just your reasonable service. That's what you ought to do, amen? If God saves you, guess what? God owns you. And if God owns you, he owns your finances. And I ought to do that which is pleasing. They first gave their own selves to who? According to verse number 5. To the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Paul said the Macedonian churches gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. And they wanted us to go. And so what did we do? Verse 6. He said, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. They said, you know what? These churches were so animated and eager about this. We figured we get their money and we sent Titus down there for you so we can get your money and send it all at the same time. So we sent Titus to finish in you what? This same grace. What is that? The grace of giving. Hey, folks, it is a grace to give. Now, some folks give grudgingly. Bible said that's no good. Some folks give out of necessity. Well, I know you need my money, so here. That's no good. But the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver.
It takes grace to give cheerfully, because in our own natural selfish state, we don't want to give anything. We want to have, we want to hoard, we want to hold. Some of us got closets full of clothes we don't wear, shoes we don't wear, purses we don't wear, suits we don't wear, ties we don't wear. We got a garage full of stuff we don't use. Why? Because we're hoarders and we don't want to give it to nobody else. We give them what we don't want. But this stuff, well, I'm going to keep that. I might wear that one day. I'll be buffing them. I'll wear that one day, man. I'm not giving away that suit, man. I'll be fitting trim. Right now, it's fitting me like this. But when I lose my way, whoo, be seeing my Shannon Sharp. I don't want to give away that dress. So, one of these days, I'm going to be petite again. I'll fit into that missus. How you going to fit in the missus when you're a missus, amen? Ain't fit no missus, amen? Hey, one of these days, I'll give away that Lane Bryant stuff, amen. I don't want that junk. I'll give that to somebody else, amen. But this other stuff, hey, we have stuff that we know that we can. It takes grace to give. Not grudgingly of necessity, but a cheerful giver is what God loves. These churches gave by grace. He said, I want to finish in you, Corinth, the same grace. At the end of verse 6, amen. Some of us need a lesson on that grace, amen. Because you got some stuff you know you need to give. Grace can be seen if we present ourselves. Verses 5 through 8. Notice verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything. Paul said, you're already very good at giving. He said, in faith, you've got the faith. In utterance, you've got that. In knowledge, you got that. What are these? All graces and in knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us. It's you abound in what? This grace also. He said, faith is a grace. Utterance is a grace. Your ability to speak. Knowledge is a grace. Your wisdom that you have. Your diligence is a grace. He said, your love to us is also a grace. But guess what? Love also gives. He said, your love to us. Paul said, you don't have a problem with giving to me, it seems. But somebody, you got a problem about giving to them. You know, certain people you like giving to, and others you don't like to give to. My grandmother was that way sometimes. We'd get ready to eat, and some of my friends would come. What are they doing here? Well, we're getting ready to eat. I figured we can share. We don't have enough for y'all. Go home. Okay? Bring in my cousin. Maybe it's going to be different for him. Alvin, what you want? Greg told me to come home because we're going to eat. Ain't no food for you. Go home. Sitting there. I remember the famous line. We were sitting down eating, and one of the friends had come home with us, and she was standing in the doorway. And we were already eating. And she was just looking. And my grandmother looked over and she said these words, you better have none, Alberta. And we looked and she just smiled like, and I guess she thought you better have some. She said, you better have none. We thought, oh, no, she didn't. As the kid would say, burn. Oh, man. No, she didn't say that. Grandma, don't be so cold. And the girl just kind of smiled. I'm thinking, Grandma, that's cold. She didn't have a problem giving to us. But giving to others, that was a grace that she didn't have. And we better not go out and give them our food either. You better eat your own food. I thought, well, amen, praise the Lord. All right, I guess I won't be a cheerful giver today, amen. And you go outside and they say, how was dinner? It was good. We had apple pie for dessert. You see them salivating at the mouth. Well, why we couldn't have none? I don't know. You just can't, amen. Better have none, amen. I guess that's it. Hey, he said, you've got all these other graces here. Do this one as well. And I like what he says in verse 8. He says, I speak not by commandment. I'm not forcing you to give to the churches in Jerusalem. He said, I'm not commanding you to do this. He said, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. He said, because others gave, and I want you to prove. You say you love God. You say you love missions. You say you love people. Then this proves how much you love. The Jerusalem church was responsible for me coming to give you the gospel, and you got the gospel because of that. Somebody financed me to come here. You don't have a problem giving to me, but you have a problem giving to those that sent me? He said, wait a minute. He said, I want you to prove the sincerity. If you really love God, I know you love me. That's not an issue. But if you really love the God who sent me to you, there were some people that financed me, and now those same people are hurting. And the churches in Macedonia, Philippi, Berea, and Thessalonica, they've already gotten that money together, even through poverty, to their power. They did the best they could, but they went beyond that. They presented themselves, and now I want you to get involved in this same thing. He said, prove the sincerity. How much do you love God? Folks, when it comes down to missions, it's about how much you love God. It really is. We know the tithe is something that we should give. We know an offering is something that we should give. But when it comes to missions, it's not about I have to. It's about I want to. And I want to because somebody did the same thing for me. Brother Hall was talking about stopping if somebody's got a flat or something like that. Hey, folks, if somebody stops and helps you with a flat, you know what you're more inclined to do? Help somebody else who's got a flat. Somebody helps you out with something, you're more inclined to help somebody. I had one of the little teenagers saying, hey, mister, would you like to buy this thing here and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, you know what? My son goes around knocking on doors too and say, you know, I've got popcorn from a basketball. And I'm more inclined to say yes to them. Why? Because somebody said yes to my son. I'm just more inclined to do so. He said, look, if somebody's been that kind to you, you ought to be that kind to somebody else. He says, speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. He said, it's voluntary. It's not by commandment. Folks, the missions that we give, that $34,618, is not a promissory note from you to the church. I will pay this, and if I don't pay such and such, you can have my firstborn. It's nothing like that. You can come and confiscate my car. It's nothing like that. Yeah. Or you can take away my wardrobe. It's nothing like that. Well, you know, I'll come and be your servant and clean your house for a year. It's nothing like that. It's nothing attached to it, but just a promise from you to God saying, this is what I'm going to do. He said, it's not by commandment, but by occasion, the forwardness of your love. It shows or proves the sincerity of our love. The faith promise or the grace giving is that which you don't have to give, but you give it because you love. Excuse me. I'm married to my wife, but I don't have to give her anything. Okay, well, I have to give her certain things. I have to give her certain things, amen? But you know what? I don't give it to her because I have to. I give it to her because I want to. I voluntarily married her and said, with this ring, I thee wed, and all my worldly deeds or goods or whatever, I give to you as well. Didn't have much, amen, but what I had, she was able to have. The part that I forgot was that I got hers too. And so when her college tuition came due, guess what? It didn't go to her daddy. It came to me, and I thought, where's this bill come from, honey? That's my college tuition. Can we send that to your daddy? With this ring, you thee wedded, and so this bill, you're going to have to start paying. And I thought, and immediately we'll start trying to, what are the bills you got out there that I don't know about? If I inherited this one. But you know what? I lovingly played that. Lovingly paid that. And every other bill that she had come through, guess what? I lovingly play. Got to get this play out of it. Paid. I lovingly paid them. Here we go. And guess what? Any other bills that she has in the future, I will lovingly pay them. Why? Because I love her. I love her. And she knows not to go get a Maserati. She knows not to go get a mink. She can have a Tibar, Gregory. That's what Fred Flintstone bought for Wilma's. Rabbit spelled backwards, amen. Got you that Tibar. That's rabbit spelled backwards, amen. About all she got. Hey, what am I saying here? Whatever she does, I cover. He said, look, you should be willing to part with what you have because you love. You love God. Beauty of faith promises we don't have to give by law. We give because we love God. And we show how much we love God by how much we give. Notice this, by how much we give out of what we have. Now, you may not have much to give. And God's not interested in looking how much you give. He's looking at how much you give out of what you have. Folks, I can't give $1 million because I don't have $1 million. But he's looking for the person that has $1 million to give out of the million that they have. You may only have $20. He's looking how much you're going to give out of that 20. My children don't get much money, but what they give, what they have, they give out of what they have. And I love the comparisons that they use. And I gave more to you. I gave. Well, you get more, so you should give more. And by the way, that's a truism. If I have more to give, I normally should give more because I have more to give. It's not always true. Not always true. God may not have you give that much. Amen. That's why it's important for us to be in tune with the God we love to know how much we give. Amen. My wife, she loves me and I love her. And so I will pay anything that comes in her name. But guess what? She's not going to go out and spend that because she loves me too. And she knows I don't have much. And so she's going to spend within that which I have. What am I saying? Can we genuinely say that we love God and we don't give for God's heartbeat? And God's heartbeat is people. God's heartbeat is missions. For God so loved the world that he gave. Can we genuinely say we love our spouse or our children? We never give to them. My children have a hard time to believe that I love them, but I never gave them anything. Hard time to believe that. Well, Daddy, you never give us anything, but I love you. But Dad, you never give us anything, but I love you. Can we have some shoes? No, but I love you. Dad, can we have this? No, but I love you. Amen. God bless you. That's kind of hard to believe that I love them if I don't give to them. I'm not saying give them everything. G2 have his way. He'll have Curry 3s and 6s and 7s, and Faith will have Freak 10s or whatever them shoes are. Freak 1, amen. Shoes that cost an arm and 3 legs, amen. And she'll be grown out of them in 6 months. Giving is not a requirement of law, but is a requirement of love. I like this phrase Amy Carmichael said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. What's that phrase? You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Diana, bless her heart. I hope she don't mind sharing. She was just talking about her car. She loved her car. She was able to get in her name, got it paid off and everything. But her daughter needs a vehicle. Guess what love does? Love gives. I mean, my dad did the same thing. My sister went to school down in Alabama, at UAB, and she didn't have a car. And he said, Greg, I want you to drive the car down to Alabama and give it to Fee. And I thought, I'm here at home. I could have that car. That's a Cougar XR7. I could be the talk of my friends. I felt like the father that gave the son the worldly goods and he went and wasted it, and the other son was at home. I'm like, she can't change oil. She don't know how to put air in the tire. I can change the oil. I can rotate the tires. I can give it a tune-up. I can put gas in it. The only thing she knows how to do is put gas in it. And you want me to drive the car down to her? He said, yes. Dad, you make a mistake. What happened? Love gave. Love gave. And so I drove the Cougar XR7 down south. I thought I might as well just enjoy this ride because it's the last time I'm going to have it. I know she's going to tear it up. She's going to run the oil out. Bye-bye. Got on the airplane, flew back thinking about that car I could have had. Could have been the talk of my friends. On the airplane, got back home. Within a couple years, the inevitable happened. She didn't put oil in it. Engine burned up. Caught on fire. And I thought, that's what I was trying to tell you. I could have had that car. I could have been riding in style. That could have been mine. I would have took care of it. Now I ain't got nothing. but your truck.
But because he loved her, didn't matter. Why? I love her.
Well, don't you love me too? Well, yeah, you got a pick of the three cars that's here. These are not Cougar XR7s. They are not. They're not even close.
Well, my mother's was. She had a Cougar XR7 too, but I couldn't touch hers.
What am I saying? Love gives. He says to prove the sincerity of your love. And then I like what he says. He gives the demonstration of our Savior. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what? Rich. Yet for who? For your sakes he became poor. He said, Corinthians, let me tell you something. What I'm talking about in Macedonia, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, what I'm talking about them doing, they're demonstrating what the Savior did. Though they didn't have a whole lot to give, they gave it. Though the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He said, Jesus made himself poor so that you could be rich. He said, what I'm asking you to do is just show the sincerity of your love by giving so that these folks down here in Jerusalem can have something. I'm not asking you to give everything that you have. I'm just asking you to give out of what you have. Jesus was prosperous. He was rich, but he became poor. He said, poor for your sakes. He took on poverty. He said, through his poverty down there, he purchased our pardon. We became rich. Think about it. The King of Kings was born in a stable. He borrowed a lad's lunch to feed a multitude. He borrowed a fisherman's boat to preach the gospel. He got a fish and borrowed money to get taxes paid. He went and borrowed a tomb. He borrowed an upper room. He borrowed a donkey. He borrowed and he borrowed and he borrowed and he borrowed from others that were willing to give. Why? He was poor when he came down, so he had to get from others. He was poor. Now, could he have made money? Of course he could. But he wanted to show you and I that it's always good to give. It's always good to give. And people gave to finance the ministry of the Savior all the way till his death. And Paul brings the Corinthian church back to Jesus and the sacrifice that was made for them in his giving and where it all began. And we'll look at some of the rest of those verses tonight. But folks, the main goal in Paul writing to the church at Corinth is to get them to understand that this business of giving is by grace. It's by grace. It's God's ability, because we're stingy by nature. We don't want to give by nature. And so God's got to get a hold of our hearts and say, this is what I want you to do. The next chapter, I love how Paul spells it out. And he says, look, if you give, God will give you so much more. He'll give you so much more. Think about the recipients that were given usage of some things. The lad and the loaves, the fisherman with the boat, the borrowed tomb, the donkey, the things that God used. Don't you think he repaid those folks fourfold? But the whole premise behind this is grace giving is something that you and I have to do through the power of God. It's by grace. And we may have all the attributes in verse 7, the faith, the utterance, the knowledge, the diligence. But if it's the love, then we've got to have the grace of giving by love. And my question to you is, if you've been a recipient of God's love, and if he's given you salvation, you have the wherewithal to give. You have the wherewithal. Will you give is the next question. Corinth had already promised that we're going to give. The other churches heard about it and said, if Corinth can do it, we can do it too. They did it. Corinthians hadn't done it. Paul writes back and says, hey, wait a minute. You said you'd do it. Now let's do it. And this is why you can. And this is why you should. And he said, I'm not forcing you. This is not my commandment. He said, but it does show how much you love. Folks, our giving shows how much we love. And don't you look at the next person, how much they're giving. This is between you and God as to how much you give. Next person doesn't have as much as you. They can't give as much as you. But then they might give more than you. Jesus said the woman with the two mites, she gave more than everybody because she put in everything
she had. And that's more than anybody, because it was her whole entire living, and she cast herself on the grace of God, saying, God, I'm trusting you to sustain me because I'm giving you everything I got. So just because you don't have as much doesn't mean you can't give more, because you can. But folks, the first thing that Jesus Christ wants from you is you. He wants you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave to you and I first. Our job then is to receive what he gave to us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Then once you've given your life to him and he's given you salvation, it's open to give whatever God lays upon your heart to give. Amen. As we look at faith promise, begin asking God, Lord, what do you want me to give? And follow the example of the Macedonians. And this they did first, gave of their own selves to the Lord. Let's do that first, and everything else will come after. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that from the outset as a church, that we have been a church that has given by grace. Lord, many may not have understood the principle of grace giving, but nonetheless, they gave. And God, you blessed them because they gave. Help us to not just understand it, but then give because of what we know and because we love you. Lord, help us to give what you would have us to give. But Lord, first of all, we've got to give ourselves to you. And then, Lord, we can give ourselves to missions and what you would have us to give. Speak to our hearts now through this invitation time, that, Lord, we can make up our minds to give because you've already given to us. And perhaps there's one today without Jesus Christ. Help them to, Lord, be a receiver of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and be a receiver of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. With a heads bowed.